On Tuesday's front page, Democrats and Republicans are heading toward a showdown on the debt ceiling. President Obama warned of a crisis. House Speaker John Boehner countered Mr. Obama is asking for a blank check. A new study says the recession hit Hispanic households the hardest. And we'll look at a sport for children that's the pint-sized equivalent of bronco riding. One mother of a six-year-old says it builds character. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says Congress is barreling toward a showdown on competing plans to cut spending and raise the federal debt limit. Monday turned into a day of legislative chess moves and backroom party caucuses in Washington, with President Obama going on television to try to force an agreement on what he called a balanced approach.
This balanced approach asks everyone to give a little without requiring anyone to sacrifice too much. It would reduce the deficit by around $4 trillion and put us on a path to pay down our debt. And the cuts wouldn't happen so abruptly that they'd be a drag on our economy or prevent us from helping small businesses and middle-class families get back on their feet right now. This approach is also bipartisan. While many in my own party aren't happy with the painful cuts it makes, enough will be willing to accept them if the burden is fairly shared.
House Speaker John Boehner followed with a nationally televised rebuttal, and it was clear the two sides are farther apart than ever. The House and the Senate could vote on their competing proposals as early as Wednesday. Times reporter Jennifer Steinhauer brings us up to date on what each side wants.
Republicans, at least at this point, John Boehner specifically, were looking at a two-part plan that would raise the debt ceiling temporarily and tie it simply to spending cuts and do other components at a later time. Democrats, the White House, and Harry Reid are very much opposed to this. They want a debt ceiling increase that would take them through the 2012 election, get this issue out of the way. And what they seem to have done in exchange for that is take revenues completely off the table and just tie it to spending cuts. Clearly, investors, traders, all of Wall Street does not like this type of political paralysis on Capitol Hill. But the bigger issue is what happens actually to U.S. ratings. It seems clear now that even with a deal, that is very much in peril.
Times reporter Jennifer Steinhauer in Washington. Also on Tuesday's front page, details from a new study that says Hispanic families were hit hardest during the recession. The study from the Pew Foundation says Hispanic households accounted for the largest single decline in wealth of any ethnic or racial group in the country. From 2005 to 2009, Hispanics' net worth fell by 66%. The median wealth of whites fell by 16% in the same period. African Americans saw their wealth drop by 53%. In the wake of the massacre in Oslo, many Norwegians are considering arming their police. By law, when Norwegian police officers need a gun, they first have to get authorization from their chief. Until recently, they rarely needed to ask. One of the first people killed at the summer camp was an officer who was not carrying a weapon. On Monday, suspect Anders Breivik appeared in court. He entered a not guilty plea, saying he had acted to save Europe from Muslim immigration. The hearing was closed, but the court said he claimed two cells of extremists had collaborated with him. Separately, officials lowered the death toll from 93 to 76, but some people are still missing. Tuesday's front page looks at Rupert Murdoch's management style at News Corporation. He has a reputation as a hard-nosed businessman with the instincts of a tabloid reporter, a news junkie who's always talking to the editors who work for him. In testimony last week, Murdoch tried to distance himself from the phone hacking scandal that's rocked Britain. He may have come across at the hearing as vague, detached, or unfocused, but current and former employees say he's anything but. Simona Sumasar was charged with armed robbery in Queens. She spent 7 months in jail before the police admitted what she'd said all along. She was framed by an ex-boyfriend. He got one man to say she stole $700 after handcuffing him. Another man said she robbed him. Thanks to the ex-boyfriend, that fake victim even gave the police her license plate number. The ex-boyfriend was apparently angry because she accused him of rape after they broke up. Tuesday's front page looks at a sport called mutton busting. It's the pint-size equivalent of competitive bull riding. Children cling to the backs of sheep, and usually whoever stays on the longest wins. But there is the risk of getting thrown off. Meredith Templin is the mother of a 6-year-old who begged to compete this year. She says mutton busting builds character. Inside Tuesday's Times, the Vatican recalled its ambassador to Ireland. This came after an Irish government report said the Vatican had discouraged bishops from reporting cases of sexual abuse to the police. Syria's cabinet has drafted and passed a law that says new political parties can work alongside President Bashar al-Assad's ruling Ba'ath Party. Anti-government protesters say the measure is largely symbolic. They also say it came too late. It followed several other steps that the government sees as concessions in response to the 4-month-old uprising. The unemployed need not apply. That's the message from many employers. Times reporter Catherine Rampell looked at job postings on websites like Monster.com and Craigslist. Hundreds said they would only consider people who are currently employed or had not been laid off for long. This is common enough that New Jersey recently passed a law barring job ads like that. New York and Michigan are considering following suit. Brooklyn Borough President Marty Markowitz was fined $20,000 for taking his wife on 3 foreign trips without paying her way. The Markowitzes went to the Netherlands once and Turkey twice. The city's Conflicts of Interest Board ruled the trips were legitimate city business, but since the city wouldn't have paid for Jamie Markowitz to go along, Marty Markowitz abused his position by letting their hosts cover her expenses. Marty Markowitz says he's flabbergasted by the decision. That's our preview of Tuesday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.